time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Still going. Good night. Touchdown.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It's hour number two on a Wednesday, which means we're over the hump, rolling downhill into the weekend before too long. Coming up tomorrow night, Friday night, and Saturday, Thunder in the Valley, an Outlaw Truck and Tractor Pulling Association event, will rock Rock Valley, Iowa. More information, rockvalleypull.com. We will be talking with one of the contestants, Craig Ulmer, with Thunder in the Valley, coming up here in about 15 minutes. It was a very challenging identity crisis, which means I have to extend a heartfelt thank you to our winner, Rick, for bailing me out. I may have made it too hard today. I spotlighted Dick Geron. Remember him? The head coach of the Chicago Bears, then the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, was never a great head coach, was a coach of the year from the Associated Press one time. Very notable coach in the last 20, 25, 30 years overall, but maybe a little too difficult today. But Rick bailing me out, he's our big winner of a prize pack centered around the identity crisis on Overtime, brought to you by the Original Pancake House. Still to come today on the show, we're talking with Craig Ulmer with Thunder in the Valley here in about 15 minutes. And at the end of the show, Jackrabbit fans, Jackrabbit haters, you'll want to tune in for a Jackrabbit football preview, a deep dive with a man who just penned a very deep dive preview article at FCS Football Central, Sports Illustrated. Zach McKinnell of FCS Football Central will be joining us talking about Chase Mason, other standouts on the roster, and the overall expectations surrounding the Jackrabbits. Can they get back to the top, the summit of the MVFC? Can they go on another deep run? Can they win a national championship this fall? The answers to all those are yes, they can. But the question remains, will they? We'll see. Jackrabbit football preview coming up at the end of the hour. We'll call that a 12:40 start to the conversation with Sports Illustrated, FCS Football Central, Zach McKinnell at the end of today's show. Let's get right to the scorecard here. Hour number two, Milwaukee Brewer baseball, pretty darn good this season, pretty darn good yesterday. They pick up two wins in doubleheader action against St. Louis, 4-3 in game one, 10-2 in game two. Cubbies giving chase there in that division, still a healthy seven games back. Cubs won yesterday against Baltimore, 5-2. Detroit also a winner, 6-2 over the A's. Kansas City had one of the ugliest plays, ugliest sequence of events you'll see in baseball this year yesterday. Three throwing errors on a single play for Kansas City. But more embarrassing than that is that the Mets lost to the team that did that, 16-12 at home yesterday. From the New York perspective, Kansas City with that win, a wild one, moves to 38-54. White Sox lost yesterday, which means the margin for Minnesota shrunk a bit because the Twins can't stop winning. Here's the final call from yesterday's win for Minnesota. They're seventh in their last 10 games.
No balls, two strikes. Here it comes. Breaking ball swung on a miss, and this one belongs to the Minnesota Twins. Manzardo strikes out, and the Twins beat the Guardians by the final tally of 3-1. They pull within two games of 500.
There you go. Two games of 500 for Minnesota. One game behind Cleveland for spot number two in the AL Central. Two games out of first right now. Excuse me, three games out of first that belongs to the Chicago White Sox. Now, everybody's got people in their lives that bring the energy. Maybe if you don't, you're the person that brings the energy. But speaking of people that bring smiles to your face, you got to love the energy of young pitcher Taj Bradley. He scored a win yesterday to move to 8-3 on the year. Here's Bradley. This clip's going to bring a smile to your face if you're a Twins fan. Talking about the vibes in the locker room and the pitching staff right now in Minnesota.
I don't even think we're grinding, man. We're just having fun, man. It's all smiles in a dugout. It's smiles and plays being made. You know, Amar's coming in with a big sack fly. People hype about that. And then we get a run scored by GB going first to home. Like, that's huge, man. And people just having a good time. We're yelling in the dugout. The locker room's phenomenal. Everybody's having a good time. Bus rides, plane rides, everything is just all smiles on all cylinders. And I think instead of grinding, we're just having fun.
Just having fun. Minnesota playing good baseball to boot. 45-47, the new record with that win over Cleveland. Taj Bradley, 8-3 on the season. When he's at his best, what adds up? Here's manager Derek Shelton.
I think, You know, with Taj, when you don't see any fastball arm side misses, because that is the tendency, like, okay, he's out of his delivery, he's out of sync. He had none of those today. And then when you start to see the swings that he's getting on the slider and the split with left-handers, especially on balls close to him, that's when you know, like, he's dialed in a little bit.
That's Twins manager Derek Shelton. Minnesota playing inspired baseball, so much so that this could be a baseball team that's over 500 at the All-Star break, which is next week. Not forecasting, but just hoping Twins can get that done, because certainly the fans deserve it, and they've been playing some good baseball lately. Record 45 and 47. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Cubs visit the Orioles at 5:35, followed by the A's and Tigers from Detroit, Royals and Mets from New York, White Sox host the Red Sox, Brewers at Cardinals, Dodgers home to the Rockies, and of course the Twins do it again against the Guardians, looking to squeeze that gap down a little bit further. Minnesota home, 6:40 start time, 6 o'clock your pregame coverage right here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. In the WNBA last night, Chicago beat Phoenix in Phoenix 77-66. Also an 11-point road win for Dallas against the New York Liberty. Just how good can this Wings team be? Here's ESPN's Andrea Carter.
The sky is the limit for this Dallas Wings team when you talk about their ability to, like you said, go through one of the toughest schedules to start the season, come out on top, have a great record so far to this point, and now they have a lighter schedule to go on the back end of their season where they can continue to put the pieces together. And this is a Dallas Wings team that's sitting at fourth in the standings right now. You want to finish as a top team so you can have home court advantage when the playoffs hit. I mean, Dallas, to me, it has already been an incredible turnaround, but the story is still just beginning for this Dallas team. They took care of the tough work at the beginning of the season, and now with that lighter schedule, they're going to have an all-star break. They're going to get some time away, and hopefully if this team stays healthy, they can continue to put the pieces together and make a deep playoff run.
Dallas right now, fourth place in the standings, trailing a two-way tie at the top between Vegas and Minnesota. Tonight, the Lynx on the road against the last place team in the league, the Connecticut Sun, 6:30 on USA. Other matchup, Fever with a potential return of Caitlin Clark tonight, visiting the Sparks, 9 o'clock on USA and CNBC. Quick note from the NBA, it was a surgical procedure yesterday for Jalen Brunson. Monica McNutt says this injury further reinforces just how impressive Jalen Brunson is and the postseason run was for the Knicks star.
Jalen Brunson is the type of player, and he comes from the stock that if he's on the floor, he's going to give it his best. He's not going to make any excuses. And so finding out in hindsight that there was an injury that would require surgery only adds to his lore and his status as the King of New York. But there were a couple of times in the postseason run, Hannah, where he did go down in the course of games and go back to the locker room. He always returned to the floor, though. And so, no, I did not know that this was something that would ultimately land in a doctor's office needing to be medically repaired. But again, he's a guy that will never make an excuse.
All right, moving forward on the scorecard, tennis action, Wimbledon action continuing. Yesterday, Coco Gauff took down Jessica Pegula, and Carolina Mukova took out Naomi Osaka. And earlier on today on the women's side, Marta Kostyuk, the 12th seed, knocked out 13th seeded Jasmine Paolini in two sets, and 9th seed Linda Noskova knocked out 25th seed Elise Mertens in two sets as well, 6-3, 7-5. Now, the men's side yesterday, Alexander Zverev beat Jiří Lehecka. Novak Djokovic took care of Felix Auger-Aliassime in a five-set thriller marathon of a match. Today, we saw two very, very, very quick matches, a three-set sweep for Alexander Zverev, knocking out final American in the field, Taylor Fritz, 6-4, 6-4, 6-2. And just going final moments ago, Flavio Cavoli, a 9 seed, heavily favored over Britain's own Arthur Ferry, but it was Ferry with a 3-set sweep, 6-4, 7-6, 6-0, as that is one heck of a story as well on the men's side. All the action today, men's and women's single action from Wimbledon, is wrapped up. We'll get a deeper look as we move forward, including a Friday conversation with Kenny Ducey on the show in previewing the finals this weekend from Wimbledon. In the World Cup yesterday, Argentina was down and down big in the 79th minute, but they were not out of it. Lionel Messi and a couple others chips them into the net. A 3-2 come from behind stunner of a win over Egypt. Argentina winning 3-2, advancing into the final eight. The other team that joins them there is Switzerland, winning in PKs, a 0-0 matchup throughout the entirety of the time. Going to PKs, Switzerland just a little bit better in the end than Colombia yesterday. We got the day off at the World Cup. Quarterfinals begin tomorrow. France meets Morocco, 3 o'clock on Fox, where France is a minus 180 favorite. On Friday, Spain meets Belgium, 2 o'clock on Fox. Spain, a minus 165 favorite there. And Saturday, two games, Erling Haaland and Norway meeting up with England, 4 o'clock on Fox, where England is just a small smidge of a favorite there, minus 115. And Argentina continues to find ways to win games. They're going to look to do the same against Switzerland. The nightcap on Saturday night, 8 o'clock on Fox, as Team Argentina, narrow favorite there, minus 140 on the money line at DraftKings Sportsbook. Quickly into your ReliaBank headlines of the day. The Sioux Falls Canaries hung 18 runs on Chicago yesterday, earning their fifth consecutive win with the streak that now has them with a record of 25-22. Canaries are now just 1.5 games back of first place in the West and will look to clinch the three-game series going on right now. That game began about 45 minutes ago. In Chicago, the EMC Greats of the Game at the Sanford International coming up later on this summer has added another fan favorite to the star-studded lineup for the event coming up in September. Former Vikings tight end Kyle Rudolph, Notre Dame alum, coming to town, joining award-winning country music artist Jordan Davis and tournament host Andy North as confirmed contestants this year. Rudolph, North, and Davis will join one more yet-to-be-announced participant in the nine-hole exhibition on Saturday, September 12th. The four participants will tee off at hole number 10 following the final group of the Sanford International. The two-time Pro Bowler, tight end Rudolph, became one of the most accomplished players in Vikings history. He will be swinging the clubs, hitting the links here in Sioux Falls later on in September. That is September 12th. For the Sanford International EMC Greats of the Game, more details, opportunities to go, to volunteer, to be a part of the event, sanfordinternational.com today. Head softball coach, new head softball coach Shannon Pivovar down in Vermilion has announced her first coaching staff hire since taking over the reins of the program, announcing the addition of Liz Malarski as the program's pitching coach. As of yesterday, Malarski comes to Vermilion after spending last season at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point, where the Pointers earned a berth to the NCAA D3 National Tournament with a 30-15 record. Prior to her time at UW-Stevens Point, Malarski served as the pitching coach at her alma mater, Edgewood University in Madison, Wisconsin, for the 2025 season. The Chicago native played three seasons at Edgewood from 2022 to 24, where she held a 3.47 ERA and an 8-3 record over 78 innings of work. Welcome again, Liz Malarski, pitching coach for USD softball as of yesterday. That's a quick toe dip into your ReliaBank headlines of the day for hour number two. When we come back, it is time to highlight a big event that gets ripping and roaring tomorrow across the border in Rock Valley, Iowa. That is Thunder in the Valley, an Outlaw Truck and Tractor Pulling Association event tomorrow, Friday, Saturday. I got tickets to give away at the end of the conversation and a deep dive conversation about what it's like to go to a tractor pull, personal history, outlook of the event, and so much more. Craig Ulmer with Thunder in the Valley joins us next on this Wednesday edition of Overtime right here on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader. It's ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.
Get ESPN with the free app and online. Grab your phone or call us up on your smart device. Now let's get you back to Overtime with Bert Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
It's the middle of hour number two on a Wednesday, July 8th edition of Overtime. There are all sorts of must-do events in the summertime. Trip to the pool, plenty of trips to the links. Also, of course, some vacation spotted in. But right here in our neck of the woods, just across the border out in Rock Valley, Iowa, tomorrow night, Friday night, also Saturday night, Thunder in the Valley makes its way to Rock Valley. It seems like an amazing event. Tractor pull out there in Northwest Iowa. Here to break it down for us, talk more about the event and what it's like to attend and also participate in it, is Larchwood, Iowa native Craig Ulmer, who joins us now on the ESPN hotline. He'll be participating in the modified division. Craig, welcome into the show. How you doing today?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, I'm certainly fired up to spotlight you and this event on the way. Thunder in the Valley beginning tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Friday at 6:30, Saturday at 6, and an opportunity to win some tickets for some listeners here in just a moment, Craig. But talk to me about Thunder in the Valley and tractor pulls in general. How fun is it to attend an event like this and also to be behind the wheel? Take us through Thunder in the Valley.
Oh, man, yeah, it's great. We've traveled all over the country for 30 years, and so a lot of experience at a lot of different venues, and this place is the best. The guys over there just keep improving it every year. So for the fans sitting in the stands, you got a very large screen TV that's doing replays if you happen to miss something, and the entertainment is just fast-paced. You can go into the pit area and get up close and personal to the vehicles and to the drivers, and that's all included in the price of admission.
And certainly it's a big event on the way. This is going to have three different opportunities to attend Friday night, and Saturday night just over the border in Rock Valley. You can find more info. Also take a look at the pictures and videos from years past at rockvalleypull.com. Craig Ulmer is our guest here with Thunder in the Valley. Craig, you said around 30 years for you. Give me your history. Is it a family affair? How did you get inspired to get behind one of these things?
Yeah, very, very much a family deal. My grandfather actually started it, so I'm third generation, and I share driving duties with one of my sons, so he's fourth generation, and my folks are still highly involved in it. So we have a three-generation team. We run three engines in the modified class. So we run three engines on one tractor. We're making 6,500 horsepower. Mm.
So certainly a lot under the hood, if you will, of these tractors for the Rock Valley Tractor Pull. Thunder in the Valley, rockvalleypull.com. We're talking with Craig Ulmer here on the Wednesday edition of the show. What does it mean, if I'm coming from a place of complete naive about this event, what does it mean to be part of the modified division versus the other divisions that we'll see in the coming days out in Rock Valley?
Yeah, there's many different classes there, so a little bit for everybody. You know, in our class, it's all about supercharged V8 engines and V12s with turbochargers. And then you'll have multiple other classes that will be like diesel tractor classes, even diesel four-wheel drive pickup classes, which are, you know, again, something for everybody. The competition, the level of competition is as good as it gets. There'll be competitors there from as far away as Indiana and Texas. And then, of course, you have all those that are closer to home. But we all run the circuit all summer long, and it's super competitive.
And certainly we talked a couple weeks ago with Kurt Koima. He said those Texans do not mess around. How do the Iowans do? Are there any South Dakotans that make a trip out there to Thunder in the Valley? What kind of local drivers do we have outside of course, yourself and your family affair that's going on there?
Yeah, for sure. In the Super Farm class from Beersford, South Dakota, they've won eight championships in their years, the Andrews family. Mm-hmm. Ourselves, we have seven championships, and, you know, so that's a couple of the more local ones. But, yeah, definitely Iowa, Nebraska, Missouri, all those competitors are coming in for the big show.
Craig, I got to ask you here, man, there's all sorts of different fatherhood pillars, but personally, one that I always like to say is my kids need to be better than me. That's my purpose. Make them better than me. Are you ready to tell me that your son is better than you at anything on the tractor pulling scene, or is he still a work in progress? What do you think?
Well, it's definitely a high debate. We joke about it all the time. You know, we use the brakes, individual brakes, to steer these things going down the track. Front ends up in the air. You know, steering wheel doesn't do you any good. And at the moment, he's better with the brakes, and I'm better with running the throttle. So it depends on the night. But, yeah, we definitely give each other a hard time about it.
Certainly a lot of fun on the way. Thunder in the Valley. You can find your tickets, more info, pictures and videos. Get a taste of what it's like to attend the event Thursday, Friday, Saturday, rockvalleypull.com. I'll give you an opportunity to score some tickets here for those of you listening in just a moment. Craig Ulmer is our guest. Craig, how do you describe the event to somebody that's never been before, somebody that might be bringing kids? What do you need? What's the response like? What's the experience like to attend one of these events?
Well, First off, they do great with the parking. You know, there's a lot of people there, so it's not like it's a long hike. Mm-hmm. They do have camping right there, so there is the opportunity to bring the camper and stay, you know, one night or as many nights as you please. Food, they have great food, you know, beef and pork. They do a great job with all of that. And, you know, being able to go and get close to the vehicles in the pit area, that's another thing. We love it when kids come by our trailer, our haul and rig, and, you know, we do what we can there. There'll be t-shirts for sale and all that sort of stuff. The dirty, dusty, you know, a lot of times over the years we'll get the I used to go, you know, a tractor pull. My grandpa used to do that, and it's dirty and dusty. And it's like, that's not this kind of tractor pulling. It's not that way anymore. It's high paced. There's no downtime. It's entertaining. And it's not the dirt like it used to be.
And certainly one-of-a-kind event coming. Thunder in the Valley, rockvalleypoll.com, just over the border in Rock Valley, Iowa, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. More info and your tickets at rockvalleypoll.com. Craig, lastly, anything else out there you want to share that makes this event unique, fun, different, and a must-do this summer? Anything else you want to share on the air with us about the Thunder in the Valley tractor pull on the way tomorrow night?
Well, one thing I would say is folks can go on Facebook at Thunder in the Valley Tractor Pull to check that out more, and also on the web at rockvalleypoll.com.
There you go, rockvalleypoll.com. That's Craig Ulmer participating in that modified division. Really cool to chat the family affair with you. Wish you and the fam all the best, Craig. Thanks so much for joining us today on Overtime.
Thank you very much.
All right. That's Craig Ulmer with Thunder in the Valley. It gives you an opportunity to win a pair of tickets here in a moment. I got two pair to give away. We'll call for that when it's time. Thunder in the Valley again tomorrow night is night number one. 7 o'clock start. Friday, 6:30. Saturday, 6 o'clock. The tickets, the pair of tickets that you win, you can use for any night. So if it works better to go Friday or Saturday, you don't have to go Thursday. Or if it works better to go Thursday, you don't have to go Friday or Saturday. It's your choice. The tickets that I've got, I got two pair to give away here in just a moment. And you can find more if you don't win at rockvalleypoll.com. Quickly here, before we move off of the segment and dive into a Jackrabbit football preview with you, let's talk World Cup before we dive into our final break in the show. The United States run in the World Cup led to record soccer betting, no doubt, and allowed American sportsbooks to profit handsomely when it came to an end. Monday night's loss to Belgium in the round of 16 set the record for the most bet soccer game in the history of several major American sportsbooks, with BetMGM saying it had more bets placed on it than any college football playoff game, excluding the national championship, the men's college basketball national championship, as well as any championship series game from the NBA, NHL, or Major League Baseball. Also, sportsbooks reported the most bet soccer record falling multiple times throughout the tournament, dating back to the group stage, with FanDuel saying the first two U.S. games cleared the bar. The United States win over Bosnia-Herzegovina broke the record at Caesars, but almost immediately supplanted by Argentina-Cape Verde, and then Mexico's loss to England after that. But American bettors backed the home team heavily throughout the run on both a game-to-game and future basis, making Monday night's loss ultimately a big win for the house. The house always wins. Of course, we know that, but certainly that article with the numbers, unbelievable numbers for betting on soccer, up and available at ESPN.com. And let's talk about Lionel Messi. He scored in a record sixth straight World Cup knockout match to help his team reached the quarterfinals with a stunning late comeback to beat Egypt 3-2 yesterday afternoon in Atlanta. Egypt was leading the defending champions 2-0 heading into the closing stages of regular time before Messi provided an assist for Christian Romero in the 79th minute and added a goal of his own just 4 minutes later to tie the score. Tying it was unbelievable. Winning it 3-2, absolutely absurd. We talk about big comebacks and unbelievable stuff. It is really rich. They were talking about it on ESPN Radio this morning. It's very rich to me. The most embarrassing, the most unbelievable comeback in NFL history in a big spot, the Super Bowl win, I think it's Super Bowl 51, where the Atlanta Falcons had everything going their way. A pick six in the first half, a 28-3 lead, and then Tom Brady and James White, go Badgers, engineered a massive comeback. Julian Edelman, an absurd catch, a strip sack, and more. Patriots find their way back from a 28-3 deficit to win that game. Unreal. That's the Atlanta Falcons. Yesterday's game was in Atlanta. Just if you wanted everybody on sports media and social media to say, oh my gosh, this is like 28-3. And Atlanta Falcon fans are like, can we leave it alone? Please stop talking about us. It's in Atlanta that this goes down, where Lionel Messi and Team Argentina rally, rise from the ashes. And this was not a defunct, dead team. They had plenty of opportunity, shots on goal, PK, etc., to be in the game. And they weren't. They were down 2-0, 79th minute. That's like a 20-0 deficit with 2.5 minutes to go in the NFL. That's how absurd this was yesterday for Team Argentina. And I challenge you to name me, in your mind, a player at that age, 39, soccer player. You could argue, Bert, it's less taxing on the body. They just run around and kick a ball. It's a lot more than that. The fitness, the longevity, the endurance, etc. And there's a lot of physicality to soccer, as we've seen with red cards and otherwise. But 39 years old, Lionel Messi, is he at his all-time peak right now? Hard to say. I'm not a soccer expert. I don't watch soccer wall-to-wall. But when the World Cup comes around, I take notice of things like this. 39 years old, playing at this level. If they happen to go to or win the World Cup this year, where does that stack up among old dudes winning titles and being at their near their peak at this age? Because Tom Brady played to, what, 44, 45 years old. He was still pretty darn functionally good at that time, but he was not at his peak. Brady's peak was probably 38, 39 years old. Debatable, of course. Really darn good throughout that stretch. But Lionel Messi is having one of the greatest advanced age performances in any sport that we've ever seen. The only one that comes to mind for me, and I would be curious your opinion here, LeBron James is in the conversation, of course. But the only one that comes to mind for me in the National Football League, advanced age, biggest moments at the end of a career that was really darn good and long, not a Calvin Johnson or Barry Sanders situation. Those careers are a little too short. But John Elway is the name that comes to mind for me. Winning massive games while playing really well at the tail end of a career. And I'm not forecasting anything for Messi. He could stick around for 5, 6, 7, 8 more years and nobody would complain. And he'll probably still be one of the best players in the world. But 39 years old, guiding things like this, chipping it in, not just being out there as a leader, not the, oh, we got the savvy veteran. He'll make some plays. He'll lead us in the right direction. This is the guy, he's the reason why they're winning these close games in this tournament. It has not been pretty for Argentina. But there's a lot of different areas to choose to where you put your fan base in a different bucket right now with Team USA out. Are you just withdrawing from the World Cup? Are you pouring in somewhere else? I'm curious about that. Where do you stand? A lot of people from this neck of the woods, Norwegian lineage and heritage, you're saying, I'm all in on Norway. I want the Vikings to get the row chant. I want the traditional, historical Viking people to win the World Cup. That is a very admirable and a very common thing, especially in this part of the country. A lot of people rooting for Team Norway. No doubt about it. Argentina, though, in my opinion, also deserves a lot of adulation, praise, and following because they have an old dude, 39 years old, Lionel Messi, reshaping what we thought was possible in soccer on a big stage. That was a humiliating, deflating defeat yesterday until it wasn't. 79th minute, 11 minutes to go in regular time. And Egypt falls apart, a.k.a. the Atlanta Falcons, and Team Argentina meets the call, answers the bell, chips them in, and wins it 3-2. Tremendous story yesterday from the World Cup. Speaking of a tremendous story, how about those Jackrabbits? Before too long, we'll be putting boot to ball for some real football. Other people's words, of course, great sport, football. But football season is nearly upon us. The Jackrabbits have plenty of home games. They got plenty of playmakers. We'll preview the Jackrabbits football season with a man who penned a great preview up at the Blue Bloods on Twitter, FCS Football Central Zone, Sports Illustrated Zone. Zach McKinnell joins us next to preview the Jackrabbit football season. Talk about Chase Mason, newcomers on the roster, and the reason why the Jackrabbits can and will be back at the Summit of FCS College Football this fall. Zach McKinnell coming up next on Overtime.
Overtime is in the middle of your workday. Unwrap your sandwich and get caught up with Burt Rameen on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on this middle of the week Wednesday, July 8th edition of the show. Football season so close you can almost taste it. No better way to finish up a show than to be talking about one of our major college football programs in our neck of the woods, just up the road in Brookings, home of the two-time national champion South Dakota State Jackrabbits. And now on the ESPN hotline, FCS Football Central on SI.com, Zach McKinnell joins us. He recently penned a nice long preview, a flattering preview of things to come for the Jackrabbits this fall. Zach, welcome into the show, my friend. How you doing this week?
Doing great, man. Appreciate you having me back. Love what y'all do with the show, man. It's an honor to be on anytime y'all have me.
Hey, certainly. We'll take it anytime we can get it, man. It's so close you can taste it, football season. What gets you the most fired up writing these previews on these major programs at the FCS level? Because there's a lot to love, a lot to spotlight in this football level that is a lot more, I don't know, innocent than FBS college football. FCS still has a lot of what people love about college football: continuity, returning players and playmakers, limited NIL impact. What gets you fired up about all these previews you put together there for FCS Football Central?
Yeah, man. I mean, listen, this is where like the foundation for me is laid. Like when people who listen to our show or read our site, you know, are like, man, how do you know all this about all these teams? Like, this is where the groundwork's laid, right? Like, mm-hmm. You got to learn all these new players with all the turnover and things at our level. But then also too, man, like, it's just good for me. Like, I feel like FCS fans deserve P4 coverage. And I think that's what we try to bring. And that's why you see all the level of detail that we put into this. And there's a few other guys in the business that do what we do, like Sam Herder, Greg Haley, Kevin Marshall, among others, that I'm really glad that we put in the level of detail, man, because I think, you know, we're here today talking about South Dakota State. South Dakota State fans need to feel like they're being covered just as well and just as in-depth as, you know, Alabama or Auburn or Ohio State. And so I think that's what we try to bring with these previews, man. I love doing it. And it's a lot of time and effort, man. And me and Timothy actually started collecting these rosters and data that we use in January. Like, we took a week off after the Natty, and then we started getting sheets and stuff together ready for what we're doing now, all the way in like the third week of January, man. So it's been a long process, but it's glad to see it pay off.
Hey, it's a labor of love, and that coverage very much appreciated. Jackrabbit fans, Coyote fans, get the ears perked up. We'll have Timothy Rosario on the Friday edition for USD Coyote preview of the season. Zach, the Jackrabbits, man, they were 9-5 last year. You ask Jackrabbit fans, that's a disappointment. They had injuries, especially at the game's most important position at quarterback in the middle of the season. What stands out about the Jackrabbit program to you? And give me the nuts and bolts of the preview that you got penned up for SI.com.
Yeah, I think last year, I understand what the standard is around Brookings, right? Like, once you win back-to-back national titles, it's national title or bust every year. And that's what it should be, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't think Jack fans are insane for thinking that, even with a first-year head coach and Dan Jackson coming in last year. Now, this year, I think the pressure is really on that, because you mentioned all the injuries and stuff like that. But what I do feel like is I do think some people just chalked it up to the injuries and overlooked some glaring issues last year. I thought the offensive line was not as good as what we've seen historically from the Jacks. I thought it was very inconsistent, especially the run game. I thought running back, there were some issues there in terms of explosiveness. And then I also just don't know, and maybe this is just me speculating, man, but I don't necessarily think Chase was healthy all year. Mm-hmm. And you never saw that explosiveness, that ability to get out of the pocket and go make a play. You didn't see that much last year. And that's what all the hype was preseason, right? If me and you would have been sitting here a year ago, how much would we be talking about? Like, man, Chase Mason might be a 500-600-700-yard rusher. But he wasn't able to maneuver in the pocket and get out of the pocket as well as I thought he would. But like, going into this year, I thought you saw Dan Jackson and that staff really sit down and address their needs. And I think that's the most important thing, because you bring back Chase Mason, that's fine. But if you take a deeper dive and look behind Chase Mason, they did a big job in terms of just getting more experience in that quarterback room in case Mason goes down. I thought they were woefully unprepared last year. Mason went down with what they had in the room. Just they were just too young behind Chase. They go and get what Josh Holst from, I believe it's Northern Illinois. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Jack Henry's back. But I thought they did a really good job kind of reinforcing the room. And then you saw what they did at running back. They got a bunch of good young guys coming back. But to get a guy like Ramon McKinney Jr. coming in, a D2 All-American, a kid that can be an impact weapon on special teams was huge. And I really like what they did along the offensive line. You obviously have some really promising guys coming back. You know, Quint Christensen was an All-American. Shane Willenbring was a freshman All-American. But I think I like what they brought. Like Cooper Starks from Vanderbilt. They got a transfer from, I believe it was Minnesota Duluth coming in. I think they reinforced the D-line. But the secondary too, man, like that's going to be the key for me in terms of if this team should live up to the hype and be a national title contender, or they're just a really good quarterfinals team again. And it's all going to come down to that secondary, because you look at the returning talent. They have, I believe, out of the real true contenders, them and Montana State have the most coming back of anyone in the country. The one position that you're just like, I don't really see a lot of proven talent is safety and corner. And they did a really, really good job bringing in a lot of guys that were proven, whether it was this level or the D2 level. And I really like what they brought in. So that's kind of like the lay of the land for me. When I look at South Dakota State, it comes down to, can Chase stay healthy for a full year? Can we see him be a full year as a starting quarterback? And can that secondary gel, and can the offensive line take a small step forward? If those three things happen, this team should expect to be in Nashville in the second week of January.
And certainly it's a positive outlook for the Jackrabbits coming up this fall. You can view their full schedule, gojacks.com. You can find the whole preview from FCS Football Central, si.com/college/FCS. Zach McKinnell is our guest here on this Wednesday edition of Overtime. Let's dive back in quickly on Chase Mason here, based on your perspective. And I value this greatly, because sometimes you get caught up in being where you are, where your feet are, and saying, oh, we've got the best quarterbacks here in South Dakota. We had Aiden Bauman last year, Chase Mason up the road in Brookings. They're really darn great. And if you talk to people in Jackrabbit country or people around this region, they're going to tell you Chase Mason could be a first round pick. He could be a second rounder. He could be a third rounder in the NFL draft. Some people nationally might say that's oversold. Where do you stand on Chase Mason, the athlete, the player, the professional outlook? What does he need to do this year to develop into that rare FCS quarterback that could be a first or second round pick? What do you think of Chase Mason's outlook this year?
Yeah, I think when the first thing you notice is he has all the physical tools, right? And I even think when you look at a guy like Cole Payton, I would argue that Chase Mason might have better physical tools than Cole did. I think maybe a little bit more of a refined passer, but the thing that got Cole Payton drafted last year is that, and did you see the step he took as a passer? How efficient he was, ball placement, pocket presence, all he checked all those boxes. And that's the next thing for Chase is, we know what type of freak athlete. And I know that's what everyone leans on, but guys, we still haven't seen him start an entire season yet. Mm-hmm. Like, we need to get that out of the way before we start talking first, second round hype. And I will be honest, and I don't want to sound like I'm hating, because I think Chase is great. And if he has a breakout year, maybe he does live up to that hype. But then the talk about him being like a day one or day two pick, I think might be a little bit too soon until we see him check those boxes off on the field. And right now, I would probably have him as an early day three type pick. I had him in our top 10 quarterback rankings. But again, man, like, you look at the guys coming back. I mean, how do you put him over a Justin Lampson right now, who just won a national title? How do you put him over a Ayat at Montana, who started a full season and just threw for 4,000 yards? How do you put him over a Bro Brungard right now at Youngstown State, who just won the Walter Payton and was the most dangerous weapon in college football last year? So, like, those are the type of things that I think you have to look at. And I think Chase has all the tools, man. Like, I have no doubt that if he puts together a year where he shows improvement as a passer, I think he is absolutely going to be selected. You can't teach size, and you can't teach his athleticism. The only thing he needs to do is to show a little bit better his ability to stay healthy for one, but also just take a step up in terms of footwork, things like that in the pocket. And I think he absolutely could be a lock to be drafted next year if he does those things. I just think with like some people, and I get it, like fans are supposed to feel that way, but I think the hype might be just outgrowing what he's proven on the field right now. But that could change. If you have me on in December, that could completely change. And I'm going to come on here and tell you that Chase Mason should be the first quarterback off the board.
Hey, certainly it's a perspective we need, and any fan base, any region can get sucked in to that little microcosm, if you will. But Chase Mason, certainly one of the top quarterbacks in the FCS. We'll see him put some more pen to paper on his great career coming up this fall. Zach McKinnell of FCS Football Central is our guest. He's tagged in today's show log. Zach, lastly here, my friend, let's talk about the Missouri Valley. Where do you stand right now? Are you ready to possibly make some predictions on how this thing finishes, or are there too many really good teams for you to feel confident about it at this stage?
I'll say, okay, that's a twofold question, right? I think there's a clear favorite to win it. Mm-hmm. Let me put it like that. I think it would be a disappointment if South Dakota State didn't win the conference next year. Like, at the end of the year, even if they get, let's just say they finish second, man, and they get a bid. Right? We saw Illinois State finish, what, like sixth last year in the Valley and make a run to that. So I'm not saying that if they don't win it, they can't prove it in the playoffs, but South Dakota State is clearly the best team in the conference. Very, very clearly on paper. And I think Dan Jackson and that staff, I don't feel bad about putting these expectations on them because they have the talent to do it. And this is the program with the investment in the facilities and everything going around that should expect to win the Missouri Valley every year, should expect to be in the national title contention. And I think when my top 25 ballot drops here in a few weeks, South Dakota State's very clearly the number two team in the country. Now, I think the flip side of that question, you talk about how good the Valley is, it is clearly the best conference in FCS football mm-hmm. right now. And I know the Big Sky fans hate me right now, but the middle of the Valley is so much better than the middle of the Big Sky. Because you look at the Big Sky, Montana State's elite. Montana's elite. I think UC Davis is going to be elite. Just a gem there for you. But behind those three teams, man, like, are you really believing in Idaho yet? Are you believing in Idaho State yet? What about NAU, who missed the playoffs last year? But you look at the Valley, and if you told me that behind South Dakota State, that South Dakota, Illinois State, Youngstown State, North Dakota, Southern Illinois finished second, I would believe you. I'd be like, yeah, maybe if this, and this worked out for those teams, like best case scenario, all those teams could be right there behind South Dakota State. This is going to be one of the most interesting conference races. The question for me, though, is do those teams beat up on each other? Do you get Illinois State beating South Dakota, then South Dakota beating Youngstown, then Northern Iowa catching someone like they seem to always do? You know, or just who slips up where? I think it's going to come down to who gets the playoff bids. But I think if you're asking me right now, South Dakota State is the clear favorite. And then I'll be honest, I'm looking at the conference. I think North Dakota, and then I actually think Youngstown State, like those two teams would be like that next tier for me, I think, are the teams that could finish near the top. And then I think Southern Illinois is the ultimate dark horse, man. DJ Williams is an absolute freak. And we keep talking about Chase Mason's draft status. I just want to throw this out here. DJ Williams has a draft grade too. Our scouting guy for the website has access because he's a national scout for the Shrine Bowl. DJ Williams has a draft grade too of another freak athlete, a guy who's proven at this level, was an All-American last year, had 18 rushing touchdowns last year, and was in the Walter Payton race at one time. So I would say, like, don't be surprised if the Valley might have two quarterbacks in draft discussions next year, potentially both getting drafted.
Great deep dive as always. That is Zach McKinnell of FCS Football Central. You can find him at the Blue Bloods, _BlueBloods on Twitter. Tagged in today's show log, Zach McKinnell, the handle on Twitter as well. Zach, we'll do it again soon, my friend. Great stuff as always. Keep up the great work, and we'll talk down the road. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, man.
All right. Zach McKinnell of FCS Football Central, one of the bigger pillars in FCS football coverage, saying a lot of nice things about the Jackrabbits. And if you notice, Coyote fans, not a lot about USD. But we got a USD-focused conversation coming your way Friday with Timothy Rosario of the Blue Bloods as well. We'll talk about the Yotes and their outlook for the season. New head coach down in Vermilion, Matt Vitzthum. Full preview available as well for them at SI.com. Great stuff there from Zach McKinnell. We'll take a break and an opportunity to give away those Thunder in the Valley tickets. I got two pair. First come, first serve, as we say so long to the Wednesday edition of the show. Two pair of tickets. You can use them tomorrow night, Friday night, or Saturday night in Rock Valley, Iowa. Thunder in the Valley tractor pull, 605-362-3776. The number to dial, number to win. First come, first served. Two pair of tickets. Thunder in the Valley tomorrow night, Friday night, Saturday night, Rock Valley, Iowa, 605-362-3776. We'll talk to you tomorrow right here on ESPN Sioux Falls.